what did you guys and gals do to the market? I'm gone a week and you kill it. But you know what? We're on the rebound on Monday. We're going to figure out whether or not we put a bottom in with all these big earnings this week, along with PCE on Friday. It's going to be a big week. NFL draft on Thursday. If you have not signed up to be a manager, general manager on my NFL draft show, then you do that right now. Aaron will post the link later on. Craig Johnson, 8:35. It's Monday. Get out of bed. It's pre-market prep.
Welcome to Benzinga's pre-market prep.
This is a volatile puppy here.
It's all about execution styles and strategies.
All right, good morning, traders and investors. Here we are up 28 and a quarter handles at 50.32. We have the buck green by 13 cents at 106.11. TLT under 89, down 25 cents at 88.90. Crude, all of a sudden, back in the lower 80 handle, down 84 cents, 81.37. Gold, well, it fell from grace, down 61.80 at 31.52. Silver, going the same way, more on a percentage basis, down 1.39 cents at 27.45. And Bitcoin, bucking the metals, that's up $1,605 at 65,960. Here we are on Monday, and Triple D is going to give me the entire wrap to the week in 48 seconds.
Yeah, I'm going to do that 48 seconds after you do. Well, bring AB in here too. AB, come on in. AB, in.
I'm in.
We got to find out about this little Joel escapades here last week, because he did miss all the fireworks. So we'll recap the week for Joel, but Joel first has to recap his little getaway there. Last week. Give us the recap here, Joel. 48 seconds.
48. It's going to take longer than 48
okay,
seconds.
Okay, well, we'll give you 4 minutes.
The first thing I tell you is, everyone out there, if you have a family, whether you like it or not, you got to do family vacations. And the one that I went on with my family was originally planned in April of 2020. Do you remember what happened then, Dennis, in April of 2020?
This was the COVID. This was going to be a COVID trip.
We were supposed to go to Arizona with my daughter, her husband, and my other daughter. And we had a little delay. So it took 4 years, but we finally went to the Grand Canyon. And nice. If you have never been to the Grand Canyon, then you got to go. Except you got to be careful when you're walking on the edge of the Grand Canyon, because you know, a rock can give away. And Aaron, can you show him a little?
Yeah, yeah. You had a close call there, Joel, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, yep. And instead of, you know, trying to pull me out and everything, everyone was taking pictures and laughing at me.
wow.
Yeah.
You survived,
yeah.
Though.
Yep, yep.
Survived. How'd you get yourself out?
Oh, you know, even with grappling hook strength. Yeah, you know, I just put my foot, I had my hiking shoes on, and I just, you know, got the grips on the rocks. Yep, yep. And then also, don't be stubborn when you go on a trip like that, okay? And don't be stubborn as a mule. I did my first ever mule ride. There you go. That is overlooked. Yes, that's 10 feet from the edge of the Grand Canyon.
Okay. Stop. How do you stop the mule from just like falling over? Like, what if the mule just decides it's done with life and decides to run over? You're done. I would not ride a mule 10 feet from the edge of the Grand Canyon. That was scary.
I don't
trust the mule that much.
First of all, you listen to the instructions, okay?
I never do that.
Yeah, when you hop in, and what you do is when you want it to stop, you're supposed to put your hand down in the middle. And I found out very quickly that when I lifted up, like we were in the part or the stable getting ready to go, I had my hand up, you know, and I was like trying to get the reins, and this thing's going backwards. And they're like, no, just put your hand down. Just put your hand down. And
signals backwards, yeah. And you fall off the Grand Canyon. That's how he fell off right there, riding the mule.
Dana had a one named Monsoon. Well, that wasn't too good. But anyways, did that hit Antelope Canyon? I don't know if you guys have ever been there. I didn't send any pics of that, and then finished up in Sedona. So that's it. The family week. No major arguments. The family all together. No major arguments. Everything was great. But I'm back. I'm fired up. You got enough. That's more than 48 seconds. Let's talk about the market.
Well, whenever you go away, this is the one trade that is almost always, nothing's 100%, but it's dang close to 100%. Whenever Joel goes on this like vacation, you can always count on the markets usually tanking. And this is exactly what has occurred. Joel went on vacation a week ago, and the markets went down all week. Like 5 for 5, awful day for the markets. Capitulating on Friday with all the AI trade coming off, crowded obviously, and that crowd was coming off thanks to SMCI losing 250 points, NVIDIA following suit, AMD following suit, ARM is round tripped, ARM losing 30 points in 3 days, didn't even really say anything, just, you know, this is just the AI crowded trade coming off. Joel, you gotta warn us when you're gonna go on vacation.
I know.
Week ahead notice here, because this market does not like it when you go on vacation.
I know. And I thought about that. I saw the news.
Your fault.
Yeah. Also I'm 2 for 2 on Middle East, excursions when I went away in October, not excursions, but unrest in the war. Definitely. That's a new indicator that you have to dial in. And I'm like, and I was checking the price action. The reception wasn't too good in the Grand Canyon. But this is what we want, right? We want to buy the dip. This is what we want, right? We want buying opportunities. And I don't know. You have the inflation data that wasn't good. You had, the bonds. The bonds have been yelling at us like we're going down. We're going down. Yeah. Rates aren't going up. We've been saying rates aren't going up. We've been saying everything's okay. Then you get some hot inflation numbers, and didn't Jerome back off last week too? That I read when I was catching up. Did Jerome back off on his rates?
Yeah. They were talking about, 2, and I don't think none came out, but it's moved down to like 2 cuts. Looking at like 2 cuts, so they keep backing off. So TLT is not liking that either here, Joel. We haven't had this sell everything market, but on Friday, Friday was not it either, because the Dow was trading higher, so we still didn't have it. But what was happening was for 3 days we had basically the value stocks getting hit, and then they're like, nope, now we're hitting the AI stuff and we're gonna buy the value stuff. So still rotation happening here, still haven't had this sell everything market. But everything, if you look at from when you went away to where we are now, seems to be down. JP Morgan's bounced back on Friday, too. It was an interesting market because, like I said, some stocks actually did pretty well. My long-term portfolio, surprising enough, I was looking at it on Friday, and I was actually flat on my long-term portfolio because I have, some value names in there that were really picking up the slack. And we know I had lightened up some of the AI stuff. When I saw the move in NVIDIA, I was like, oh, my long-term portfolio is probably getting crushed. But then it was like other stuff on Friday was picking up the slack. And, like my Amgen has just been for dead. Like that had a 10-point rally from the lows on Friday. So it's funny how, you get this rotation and everything is rotation. And other stocks, pick up the slack a little bit here. So it was definitely not sell everything Friday. It looked like a disaster if you were just in tech. But if you were in other things, the day wasn't that bad.
Well, Go ahead, AB.
I was just going to say, it was certainly sell all NVIDIA on Friday. That was kind of like the big headline of the day. NVIDIA dropped nearly 10% on Friday, which, I mean, probably had to be NVIDIA's worst day in like 2 years or something, because I don't think I've seen NVIDIA drop 10% during its most recent rally. What do you make of this? Because like you don't typically see a stock that's in favor fall 10%. We've talked all year about NVIDIA being the market leader. Obviously, it's kind of turned over the past couple of weeks, but is this the start of NVIDIA coming back to like, the 600 levels, or is this an opportunity to buy?
I never like catching the falling knife, and that's what the market is doing here this morning. The market is jumping in. It was jumping in NVIDIA. And earlier, especially, we've already seen it start to leak here, though. At one point in time, NVIDIA was up 18 points this morning. It's only up 6 here now. So early traders do like to catch the falling knife. I'm not a fan. what I like is, you know, once the stock, you know, breaks down and now it's breaking down, we need to stabilize, stop going down, you know, find some support and then start actually showing some life. Right now, this is a crowded trade, folks. You know, I still have a piece of NVIDIA. So, you know, I was still getting hit in the long-term portfolio. Lucky the diversification kept my long-term portfolio okay on Friday. But I mean, it's been a really good move. Stock went from 500 to 900, basically doubled almost in the first, you know, 3 months of the year. Stocks go into cooling periods. So, you know, if you talk 50% retracement of the move, that's probably near 700. If I'm just eyeballing from like where it started, like 480. So, you know, you think you maybe have a date with that. AMD is probably through its 50% retracement of the move. ARM has round tripped. I mean, the AI trade was very crowded. We know crowded trades come off. Not saying the story is over. I don't think the AI story is over. I do believe, I'll say it right now, I do believe NVIDIA will hit all-time highs again. I don't think we've seen the all-time high. I know it's going to be by the end of the year. It's off here. But I think, you know, I think it's possible by the end of the year that NVIDIA could actually hit new all-time highs again. But right now, just coming in here and catching the fall, I think it's possible. I said, Joel. I didn't say it's probable.
I
think it's possible. But I'm saying, I don't think the story is over. There's people who say AI story is over today. It's over. It's cold, ice cold, got ice cold. And you knew what? It was cooling for a while. You could kind of see this setting up, which is why, you know, we started, you know, trying to ring the red.
Consolidation. Yep.
Yeah. Well, SMCI was just, you know, and SMCI was the catalyst here, I believe, on Friday, losing 250 points. And then it dragged all the AI trades down with it. Like ARM, you know, there's a full round trip.
Two for one stock split.
Yep. You go from 75 to 162. And then all the way back here to 87. It looks like it wants to go back to 75. The ARM valuation never made sense, folks. It was never one I was in. It was never one I could wrap my head around. I'm not surprised it round tripped. You know, the NVIDIA valuation is still not insane. You know, you're trading 32 times earnings. You get down under 30, maybe you take a shot. But again, why catch the falling knife? Why not wait? These things typically just don't go bang and the dead cat bounce and it just blasts off. A lot of times you don't see it. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you do, but I'm not one to catch a falling knife.
Oh, just one other thing before I do the technicals on these stocks. I have to say the highlight of my trip was getting a phone call at 5 a.m. on Friday, Arizona time.
I was like, how do I start the show? I'm like, how do I start the show? Joel's like, hit the go live button in the corner and don't call me at 5 a.m.
I know. And I would have hopped on with you. But the internet connection
can't figure out how to hit the go live button.
Yeah. But in Sedona, the internet wasn't that good. But that kind of threw me off on Friday. But anyways, I have a question for you. SMCI came around trip and already filled the gap. Oh, I didn't want to do that. Filled the gap. I want SMCI. How I got two charts on there. That's a new trick. But look how SMCI came down and filled the gap here. Is NVIDIA going to do that? Because if you're waiting for a gap filling in NVIDIA.
What was that gap? What was that from? Was that earnings?
Yeah. Yep.
Was it earnings?
Yep. That was an earnings gap. Let me get my data window
Gaps fill. Gaps tend to fill, Joel.
Gaps tend to fill.
It may not be a bad idea of thinking about that gap fill down. I think that if you're into catch and fall nines, 662 is a big number on that. It's 100 points down from here. If it falls another 100 bucks, not saying it's going to do that today, but if it does over the course of the next, you know, when it's out of favor here right now, that's probably a spot where you do take a shot. If you didn't have any NVIDIA, maybe you do take a shot down like 662. The 666 number.
Yeah.
Remember, that's where they said the all-time high was when it was going up. Everybody said, that's it. Because it hit 666 on the kisser and then sold off 50 bucks. Everybody's like, that's it. And then NVIDIA 666, that's the all-time high forever, and we know it ended up going a lot higher than that.
So actually, the number is 688.88. That was your February 21st high. That was buff. You haven't even – did you hit the low from that area? The low on that day was 742.20. So if you're leaning on on this gap and you think it's never going to be filled, you did not get there on Friday, 742.20 is the next daily low. Let's look at SMCI here, see how that's trading today. That did fill the gap. If you want to
down another 20, there's a tell.
Well,
there's a tell for you.
Before we move on from NVIDIA and SMCI, because we do have a lot to talk about with this week, I wanted to pull up this tweet real quick. This is from Brian Tungus. He's a former, I'll go to his profile real quick on on X, machine learning X NVIDIA. So he just left the company after being there for about, I think about a decade. He was there for a while.
Right now.
He said, okay, now that I'm out, I can finally say this publicly. LOL, no, sorry, you are not catching up to NVIDIA anytime this decade. He said, the funniest thing about this post is that it's totally undisputed conventional wisdom in tech circles. So my question about this, is it possible that all these other stocks, SMCI, ARM, etc., traded up almost into a bubble with NVIDIA because of its strength, and now NVIDIA is getting dragged down by those same stocks, but at the end of the day, NVIDIA will still be the clear winner in this trade, and it's just kind of going through some consolidation right here.
I agree with that. Yeah. I agree with that 100%.
That's what I'm kind of thinking right now.
I agree with that 100%. And if you're going to catch any falling knives, it's NVIDIA. That's the knife that I would try to catch. But again, I don't like catching the falling knife. I'm in it. I'm actually worse because I'm participating in the downfall here. You know, I did sell a piece. We know, you know, I sold it twice. I bought it three times, sold it twice. I have the original position from when I bought back at like 410. Remember when I was going down 405?
Yeah, you bought that. Yeah, let me.
And then I bought more at 500 on the breakout. And I bought more at like 600. And you were like going nuts when I started adding to the winner. You're like, Dennis, don't add to winners. But then, and then end up, you know, I sold a piece and then I sold another piece. I have the original stock still, though. So
when did he do that tweet? When did that tweet come?
This was on April 16th. So a little bit less than a week ago.
Give us this follow again. This is a former NVIDIA employee.
Yeah, Bojan.
What's the Twitter account?
Bojan Tungus. It's T-U-S.
What is it? Show it.
Wait. Dennis, before you get too excited.
Yes.
Since he did that tweet, the stock has dropped $100. Okay, to
so
me.
He's not a market mover. I mean,
he's not a market timer.
To me, he has some $900 options still in his account that he wants to see back up there. When you leave a company, you leave that. So unfollow him. When you leave a company, just follow them. Yeah, okay. I mean, you know, market timer here, but
he's not a good market timer. But if he knows technology, I agree with him. I do not think you're going to get NVIDIA at like $500. I don't think it's going to happen. It's 690, or where is it right now? I was looking at SMCI, so I bring it up. 766.
Well, I don't think
you're getting it at $500-$600. People are saying it's going to full round trip like ARM did, $400 or $500. I don't think you're getting there.
Well, yeah, I think what you see happen is like with NVIDIA's price action, and it starts going up so much, and the opportunity, the addressable market there is so huge with AI. Then people start go buying these smaller stocks because they're like, well, NVIDIA's already gone up, but if this industry is going to be so big, I'm going to go buy SMCI. I'm going to go buy ARM. But at the end of the day, like those companies don't necessarily need to be, you know, don't need to have the growth that we've seen in NVIDIA, but NVIDIA actually has the technology and stuff to back it up. So I think people got a little ahead of themselves, kind of buying the, oh, if NVIDIA's up this much, I'm going to buy the competitors and they got to go up that much. That's not always how it ends up playing out.
Yeah, no, I think. And again, people bring this right to AMD, and we could open up with this Barron's article here because the Barron's is talking about competition for coming from NVIDIA, citing AMD as well. I mean, AMD gives a little Barron's pop.
Well, I think AMD is like second best in the.
And people are saying, what do you do with your AMD? Well, I just bought more, so I screwed up. This was catching a falling knife, so something learned from me. I tried to catch at 166, I think. I sold into some strength. I sold half the position. I talked about it. Bought it at 95. Sold half of it when it doubled because then you're forever playing with the house's money. Well, I rebought the house. So I'm not forever playing with the house's money anymore. Maybe I shouldn't have, but you know, I was hoping the 160 area would hold. You know, that's where it had multiple lows in February. Obviously didn't hold. We're breaking down from there. I mean, there's no reason to be in these for a trade. If you're a trader and you're catching these falling knives, you're doing everything wrong. Stop everything you're doing. You're doing everything wrong. If you're a long-term investor, I will say sometimes it's okay to catch falling knives because, you know, if you've got good companies at reasonable valuations and, you know, some of the best knives that I caught, like, you know, think about like the May 6, 2010 flash crash. I bought a few stocks during that. I was like, these were unbelievable prices. So, I mean, that was completely catching a falling knife. We had a market failure, you know, stocks trading down 365 stocks traded down to 1 cent that day. Now they busted some of those trades, but I mean, sometimes as a long-term investor, it's okay to catch a falling knife. I will say as a trader, and write this down, in my opinion, as a trader, it is never okay to catch a falling knife. That's my opinion as a trader.
Okay, let's just do it just like a technical thing, and just because NVIDIA is just like the most talked about stock, and I'm just haven't looked at this chart in a week. But what I'd say here is what you want to see here. What was the low on Friday? 756. What you want to see is, I don't know if this is the exact low. Maybe you hold the gap low, but you want to see a period of like a week and a half, 2 weeks, like 750, 800, 750, 800, 750, 800. Look how you had this consolidation here. Yeah, you breached 850 a few times. You could tell the whales were at 900 here, getting out of the stock. But that when it finally took out that 850 area, that's when you had the big move. So if we could just sit calm, I know their earnings are later in the cycle. Let's go 750, 800. You know, that's kind of tight. I don't know if we're going to get back up to 850 right away. But maybe consolidate in this area for 2-3 weeks.
I think it's going lower.
Nevertheless. Yeah,
I'm going to talk against my book and interrupt you right now. I think it's going lower.
One low there.
I think NVIDIA's taken out. Here I am talking completely against my book. And if this was on for a trade, I would sell it. It's not on for a trade. It's on for a long-term investment. Like I said, I've sold it twice. I don't want to go to zero NVIDIA because I do think NVIDIA is going to be at all-time highs again one day. Right now, at this moment in time, I believe NVIDIA is going lower. 756, I think it takes that out today. I think you're going to see $700 on this puppy. So I think there's another 10% here.
That's right in the middle of the gap area. But just going back to one thing that Dennis said about, you know, the day trading and the long-term trading. And I learned this being in my office when you run in the bright office with 20, 30 traders. If you're doing that, you know, don't frown, average down thing, if at the end of the day, you're still underwater, you're still taking the heat, the best thing you could do is flatten out that position. Yeah, it might open up higher the next day and you're like, oh, why? You know, I dumped on the low. But chances are your psychological state of holding on to that position is just going to hurt all your other things.
Everything.
So,
hurts
everything. So, you know, for your day trading thing, and you know, it's easy to say on a day like this where it goes from loses nearly 100 points. But if you're a true day trader and you're looking at that perspective and you lose your discipline, just get flat the next day. Get flat at the end of that session. If you want to rebuy it the next morning, then that's fine. But you're doing it with a different kind of psychology.
It's mixing. You're spot on, Joel. This analysis is spot on. And sometimes we just got to stop the show and take a teaching moment here because this is one of them. And you can't just mix trading and investing because this is what everybody does wrong is they put something on. They're like, I'm a day trader. And then they're like, okay, well, it's coming down. Well, I don't take losers. Heaven forbid I take a loser. So they hold the things, and then they're long-term investments. They let the trade become the long-term investment. Never, ever, ever let that happen. If you are one that will not take losers, nothing is guaranteed in life. But if you are unwilling to take a loser, you are almost guaranteed to be a loser in investing, trading, everything. Because you're eventually, if you don't take losers, your portfolio inevitably, yes, inevitably, will be full of losers because you're not a stock market genius and you only pick 100% winners. Eventually, you're going to get caught up in a story that didn't work out. You're going to be caught up in something that didn't work out. And then that loser is going to be in your portfolio because you're unwilling to take a loser. So that's going to stay there. Then you're going to get another one and another one over time. So even if you trade hundreds of times, let's just say, and you're putting 10% of your money into each stock or whatever, 5% of your money each stock, do it 20 times. Well, you're out of capital and you're all full of losers here now. I've seen it time and time again. People come in, they say, you know, like, can you look at my portfolio? And it's all losers. And I'm like, well, why is all losers? Why don't I take losses? I'm like, well, this happens. This has to happen. This is the inevitable thing. Like, just have a course in this. If you are unwilling to take losers, eventually your portfolio is full of losers. It's just math, folks. It's just math. So you've got to cut losers. You've got to get out of crap when you realize it's crap. We all make bad investing decisions. That's okay. It's okay to be wrong. It's not okay to stay wrong.
Yep. Let's go to earnings this week. And Dennis, I 100% agree. That was one of the things I had to learn when I started trading. It's a tough lesson to learn, but once you do, you're going to be better off in the long run. You guys mentioned that NVIDIA doesn't report till later in the cycle. So let's talk about some of the companies that report earlier in the cycle. This week, I'll pull up this calendar, which you can find on Benzinga's Twitter. This morning you had Verizon before the open, but tomorrow is when a lot of the big boys really start. You got UPS and GM before the open. You have Tesla and Visa, Enphase Energy, Texas Instruments, all after the close. And then on Wednesday, Boeing, which that should be an interesting report and call. Of course, the company going through some leadership change right now. Meta after the close, Chipotle. I think that's Chipotle's first earnings report since announcing the stock split. ServiceNow. And then on Thursday, American Airlines, Caterpillar, Altria, Snap, Intel, Alphabet,
wow.
Microsoft. I mean, this is like, this is the week of all weeks when you're talking big tech, because no Apple, but you do have, again, Microsoft, Google, Tesla, Meta. So, I mean, right there, that's four out of the seven magnificent.
It's
seven.
An unbelievable week for earnings. Yeah, it is. This is going to define whether the dead cat bounce works or not. Fundamentals are going to come in here and paint the picture of the technical. Sorry, technical analysts here, but this week, technicals almost don't matter. It's going to be driven by fundamentals. Starting with Tesla tomorrow night, the bar, let's start right there, is very, very low for Tesla. The stock goes down every single day. I have that little position. I bought at 180, averaging at 180, sold most of it at 175, and took the loser on most of it. Should have sold it all.
I
was cutting the loser in the long-term portfolio. I don't always cut losers in the long-term portfolio, which obviously you should. But, you know, my humanoid theory, you know, that this is going to, you know, get a story driven is way too early. We've talked about this multiple times here. Should not have any of this stock here. The quarter size position or whatever is quickly becoming an eighth size position in my long-term portfolio because the stock is just trash. It's absolutely been trashed. It's down $6 more here this morning. They're cutting prices here everywhere. The car lot's full. Folks, we said that when I was on the trip. As soon as my brother-in-law said the car lot, Tesla car lot's full of cars. I'm like, holy crap. That is not good news. You know, sometimes boots on the ground analysis just works. Car lots full of cars are cutting prices, trying to figure it out. They got problems, folks. This is the definition of catching a falling knife. It will bounce, but, you know, it's 260 to 140 here now. Every time we've tried to play this on a bounce here, it has failed. Tesla is a mess.
Oh, God, did anybody catch this going through 160? Because we talked about that level. A level of levels, two lows in March, one low in April. And then what did you know? I wonder what the news, and I was out that day. You know, you're thinking, I'm going to catch this going through 160. And then it gaps lower. Was that another price cut or something? That was last Tuesday, or was that just market momentum? But boom. So I would say right now, I'd be hands off on this stock until it can establish a 160 bid. And here it is at 140. You do have another monthly low to contend with. So, you're already through that. No, wait, what's that monthly low? 152.37. Ugh, we're already through that. I don't want to talk about double digits in Tesla. Come on, Tesla. Catch a bid somewhere here.
101.81 was the low back on the 23rd. And it got down to 29 or 30 times earnings at that price. It was really cheap. That's the cheapest Tesla's ever been, you know, at 29 times earnings. I mean, we're going to get to a point here where it may actually retest like 29 times earnings. The problem is the earnings may actually start going down. And that's a major issue here. There's major problems here, folks. I think it's going to be a good humanoid story. I think it's going to be some good stories at the end here. Too many major problems with the core business right now to even put new capital to work here.
Think he prefers to work at here when he has to bank? Who are all the banks that gave him a loan? Remember? What's the uncle number on that? I've been thinking about that ever since. The loans were tied to some kind of number here, and I don't know if it gets called in or not, but I wrote a couple articles about the most thing that bothered me about the Twitter deal was that he sold out to Wall Street. He sold out to the banks to get that money. I don't know why he did. And look, all that Tesla stock he dumped. When was that? When did he take over Twitter? Was that over a year ago, 2 years ago?
Yeah, I think it was late 2022 is when it was officially
he
done.
Was just dumping stock and dumping stock and dumping stock to pay for that. Where do you think Twitter would be right now? You've had the market rally, but it never really participated.
Well, look at Snapchat. Snapchat is where Twitter would be. It's a comparable, I think. I don't think it's Meta. Twitter's more to Snapchat because Meta's figured out other things, other core businesses, just a better run business. I think Twitter, if it was a public company, would be at all-time lows right now. That's my opinion. I believe it would be at all-time lows. The company is an absolute mess. Maybe it wouldn't be, but he's running that into the ground. Like, it is a mess. Like we said this last week, when you go and search a stock ticker on Twitter, all you get is spam. Like, if you go to the latest, like, if I just go like, okay, well, we want to know the news. And I used to do this, you know, well, what's the news happening on Tesla today? So we go to Tesla, you know, bring it up here right now. Do it, AB. Go to latest. Show my point here. All you get is a bunch of spam. Hopefully nothing bad pops up,
but let's go ahead and try. All right. So I was on Benzinga's Twitter.
Especially if you do a smaller company, too. Like, if you do a smaller one, you all get spam. But you just get a bunch of spam.
Latest on Tesla.
Yeah, and I actually just did, and it's not that bad today, so of course.
Today's not yet. Let me look at this.
There's too many people talking.
Peloton could be a 10-bagger from now. Follow our community for updates. Linktree/crypto.
This is what you see. Like, if you went, like, a better example is, like, do the Nokia one. Like, go to Nokia and okay, and then you just
see a bunch of spam. I saw one. SOMO was trending, so I don't even know what that is, if that's some sort of, like, crypto or something. But, yeah, I mean, just
when you go here, you just have join our Discord community. Join. Look at how many times. Just join this, join this. It's like you can't find the news through all the spam. That's all spam in the last, like, welcome to this times. These are in the last little bit. Like 35 seconds ago. It's just all spam,
in the last minute. What'd you say?
All in the last minute. Just constant spam. Like he said when he took over, Elon, if you're listening, he said when he took over that he was going to help, you know, get the spam down, the bots, everything. It has exploded exponentially. The spam on Twitter is just completely out of hand and borderline making the service useless. So whoever you fired to, like, that was controlling that wasn't doing a good job, bring them back. Because they were doing a better job than the people you've hired here now. It is a mess. Twitter is an absolute mess.
All right. Well, it is 8:32 a.m. Eastern. I see our guest hanging out behind in the green room. So without further ado, let's go ahead and bring our guest on a little early today. We've got Craig Johnson hanging out. I think it's been a minute since we've had Craig on the show. So
awesome.
Excited to see what Craig's been watching, see what's top of mind for him with these crazy markets again. Last week was the worst week, at least if you're talking in the tech market, since 2022. I mean, the Qs dropped more than 6%, of course, highlighted by NVIDIA's 10% drop on Friday. Let's get some of Craig's thoughts on what's going on.
All right, Craig Johnson, the one and only Craig Johnson, CFA, CMT, Managing Director and Chief Market Technician at Piper Sandler, joining us live here on Pre-Market Prep to calm everybody down, to talk about the sell-off, to talk about support, to talk about his year-end targets. Craig, take it away.
Uh-oh, mute trick. Let's figure it out. He doesn't show like he's muted. Oh, he is. Yeah, he is muted. I can see it.
Oh, Craig, hold on. Let's if you pop into your audio settings real quick down here on if you click the little gearbox settings, go to audio, make sure your right microphone is connected. Otherwise, I can hop off with you real quick and try to help you fix that while Joel and Dennis keep going on the charts.
See if you can get it here quick. Otherwise, we'll bring him back in a minute.
Okay. We'll take Craig.
Okay,
off,
you know what?
That.
I want to, if you want to go backstage with Craig, Dennis, we're leaking.
Maybe you go back with Craig. We're just gonna talk S&Ps here quickly because we are leaking. At fault, I'm gonna blame SMCI here again. SMCI, bring up the SMCI chart from this morning, Joel. Not from Friday, but from this morning because this stock was trading higher.
Okay,
in the
let me get the pre-market right here, and this will be on the left side, chart. Left chart.
We got up here this morning to $740. People buying the dip. That's up 27. We leaked. We are now down another 20 and making new lows. SMCI was the culprit on Friday. So it is your leader here right now and is the culprit here now. Now bring up NVIDIA. NVIDIA, you would not think chasing SMCI, but it is right now. Right now, SMCI is your leader if you're trading NVIDIA. NVIDIA was trading up over $784, trading up over $20 on the day here, Joe. $23. It was up $23 this morning. It's up only $5 here now. So leaking here once again, the culprit here again, SMCI. Even if you don't trade SMCI, even if you can't stomach, I can't stomach trading the stock, Keep it on your screen here right now, folks, because right now, not tomorrow, not next day, day traders, right now, SMCI became your leader Friday. It's your leader here today. Not saying it's going to continue to be your leader, but if you're trading any technology stocks right now, have SMCI on your screen because it is leading the way here, at least at this moment in time.
All right, we are good with Craig now, so let's go ahead and pop Craig back on. Craig, sorry about that. How you doing?
No problems. You guys hear me fine now? Good?
Yeah, you're good.
All right. So, Dennis, I got to start with this. You said the technicals are not going to matter this week. I got to throw it out to you. Charts don't lie. Management teams do. So this is why we love looking at charts, right?
Sure.
All right. So as we think about this market right now.
I want to stop for a second. Do you not think fundamentals lead technicals sometimes?
No, I think that.
Fundamentals don't draw the charts sometimes.
So unless you're a huge institution and you got a lot of money, and I've had a few of them come to me and say, Craig, we don't look at charts. We make the charts. Okay. But for everybody else in the world and for the people that are out there trading, charts are ultimately what's going to dictate. And I would say, yes, you're going to get some more volatility this week coming up with the earnings announcements coming out. We've got a lot of big companies printing results. But the most interesting thing, and again, I didn't realize this until one of our wicked smart sales guys pointed it out on our morning call today, is do you guys realize that the advanced decline on the New York and the NASDAQ last week was actually in Friday's sell-off, you had more advancers and decliners?
I was saying that it was rotation. The rotation was awesome on Friday. My long-term portfolio is full of tech stocks, but it has some value stocks in there too. And I brought it up expecting the worst because I own NVIDIA and AMD. And my long-term portfolio was actually flat on Friday, which is like, how did that happen? Well, there was so much rotation, Craig,
correct,
from like the stuff that's just been punished, you know, severely. And obviously I had some of that in my long-term portfolio, and that was bouncing back and making up the slack. The rotation here is still pretty incredible. So an ugly day really wasn't that ugly.
That's exactly right, underneath the surface. But, you know, last time I was on the show, and sort of the theme that we've had for 2024 is that we are going to enter some sort of high-level trading range. We call it an HLTR. And I think there's no question that that is happening with the rotation. You're seeing the profit-taking in the SMCIs and the NVIDIAs and these names. And if you look at the longer-term charts like you got here for NVIDIA, if you draw the uptrend support line in here, you could still see on NVIDIA a very meaningful correction, probably back to 600 and change before you even get back to the long-term uptrend. On the bottom chart, I was thinking, Dennis, you know, kind of drawing your uptrend support line in there, you can be back at 600 and change and still be in an uptrend, which would be very painful.
Pop, sorry about that, Craig. We just had some good news somewhere here. We just had a little pop up near the pre-market high. Sorry about that, Craig. Go ahead. I just wanted to.
Yeah, no worries. And the same thing with the SMCI too. I mean, there could still be a material pullback in the SMCI.
Yeah.
But put that into the context of financials and other parts of the market. I mean, there's still positive things out there to be had. When we go through and we look at the Goldman Sachs of the world, I mean, they certainly put up some decent numbers. Or you look at some of these, I mean, these charts don't look like they've got a huge issue like a lot of these other tech stocks have been really extended. And what I would encourage everybody to go do is do a very simple screen of the market. Look for those companies that are trading more than 50% above a very simple 200 period moving average. Those are the stocks that are getting damaged. I mean, look at like a Sweetgreen, ticker SG, as an example. I mean, how much that stock has started to correct and how much further it's got to go. So if you're looking for shorts, that seems to be one that fits into that category. Or you look at a Dell computer as sort of another one that kind of comes into that perspective. There's lots of these names out there, guys, that fit into that category. But for me, I have not changed my year-end objective. I'm still looking for 50-50 by year-end. We were above it earlier this year. And now we're slightly below it. I think you're just going to consolidate around those numbers until you get through the election. It's going to be a great trading environment is what it's going to ultimately be. And that's what I'm trying to encourage people to think about.
So you think this is the environment where, and I agree with you, where you still take the winners when you got them, because we're not going to have these 20, 50, 100% winners here. Maybe you're taking the 5, 10% winners, you know, and just moving and playing the chop more than anything.
If you're playing baseball, take the singles and doubles. Don't go swinging for the fences.
this isn't a swing for the fence market here. You did make a great point here too, just bringing up, you know, the financials, how, you know, Goldman Sachs not really going down here last
year. Not at all. Holding
up. And the rotation here is holding the S&P up, you know, like obviously S&P is still going down because we're so heavily weighted, but you know, it's been, you know, a different story for some other stocks here. And if you look even at the Dow, like last week, the Dow was actually, I think the Dow closed higher last week. Is that right? I didn't even look at that. Like it was very close to closing higher last week, which is nothing short of incredible considering the carnage that we had in tech.
Well, a lot of that is United Healthcare and Goldman. Those two stocks, given that the Dow is a price-weighted index, those two stocks are really what held up the Dow last week. And again, sort of the rotation. And when you talk to a lot of the traders out there, they'll tell you like, hey, look, I'd rather buy a United Healthcare in here right now because it's sort of been de-risked. They've already come out. There's been all this negative news. You've already seen the stock fall appreciably. It's a big blue chip stock. If they've got to hide somewhere, probably a better place to hide there than still trying to come back and say, buy the Microsoft or buy or take a stab at the Nvidia or some of these other names that have started to sell off. They want the de-risk names that have already put the results out.
Do you think there's going to be a time to come in and buy the dip on tech? I'll just take it back because there's so many technology traders. So many of our listeners are hardcore tech, so we still have to take a focus there. I've been saying stay away from catching the falling knife here. Like wait till we stop going down. Maybe get some consolidation. Maybe get some more levels. I've also been saying I think Nvidia trades lower here as well. Do you think, you know, like if you're thinking we're in a choppy environment, it's still going to be a 50-50 by year end here. Do you think there's a play here to try to catch the falling knife on some of these tech stocks or just stay away?
As a guy that looks at charts, first and foremost, I like to say to people, I'm sort of 80% focused on the charts, 20% market aware is how I like to say it to people. I would not try to catch the falling knife at this point in time. I would wait for the base to be built. I want the lower return, but the higher probability of being right. I don't want to draw down capital too far.
Yeah. Safer play for sure.
It's a safer play. And you're in a really strange environment. You were watching 10-year bond yields going up. You're watching commodity prices going up. And most investors have basically positioned themselves for what they think is going to be another Fed liquidity cycle where they're ultimately cutting. I mean, the gentleman that follows the Fed for us, Benson, he's now talking about a 20, 30% probability of a rate hike. Not
I know that would actually really
end the show right now.
So that being the case, if that was play out that way, this market would not be happy in any way.
You gotta send me that guy's email, man. I gotta get him on the show. Craig, I want you to take off your calm, cool, collected CMT, CMA hat and be the Yahoo trader. Okay. The reckless trader. Okay. And your target's based on the S&P is the cash, right? At 50-50. So are you just licking your chops when it goes to 52.11, 78, 160 points off your price target? Aren't you saying, holy moly, this world's gone crazy? I need to call my institutions and warn them. And I know you were on the show a couple months ago and you were like, well, you know, we're gonna hit a wall sometime. I mean, how do you like that far above your year-end target for 12 months? It goes 160 points above it. I mean, were you just like, oh my, like this is I got to get short this market, or do you wait for some kind of downward momentum? And I know you don't short, you're at a big house, you're giving buys and everything, but like, what do you think when something goes 160 points past your price target?
Well, I was thinking a couple things. First and foremost, what we did about it back at the very end of March, we put out our informed investor publication, which, you know, we've talked about here on the show before. But ultimately, what we were watching is we were watching a market that was at the very upper end of a trading range. And we know that from looking at the technicals, this is not where you start that next leg up when you're that far above your trading range, number one. Number two is we were watching the internals, the number of stocks above 40-week moving averages. And we're watching that deteriorate. We're watching the number of new highs versus new lows deteriorating along the way. So when you put all these pieces together and then add in some sentiment gauges like AAII or meme, some of those pieces, you had bullish sentiment off the charts. So this is where I want to sort of lean the other way. And we raised 10% cash at the end of March. Like, we were just not going to buy into this. And we sold NVIDIA. We sold VST. We sold a lot of these stocks out of the portfolio because, you know, Joel, when you get to those points in time, people want you to have an opinion. People, even though you might be wrong, you've already threw your price objective, they want an opinion. And you can't just sit here and say, well, this may happen and that may happen. And we took the definitive step, raise cash. And we're sitting with 10% cash in the Piper Sandler Select Tech Opportunities Fund.
Where is so your cash normally? Are you usually 100% in on that fund?
Well, we were at 98% cash previously. So usually we're running, you know, very low single digit types cash because nobody pays a professional investor to own cash. It's just not what you do. So they want us to be into the market. And so at 10% cash, that's a pretty good statement. And could we raise it to 15 or 20? Sure. The maximum cash that we will ever go to is 25%. So, and again, I don't want to go to 25% right away because if the market comes in 5%, now I got to be buying right away. And sometimes you don't want to be buying too early. But the market has got a challenge, guys. Bottom line, as you progress through the remainder part of this year, which is rates are going up, commodities are going up, inflation looks sticky, and most growth investors are looking for the Fed to be cutting this year, and that may not be the case. And if that indeed plays out like that, the market's going to be disappointed, and this market's going to remain choppy and sideways, and you're just going to want to trade them is what you're ultimately going to want to do.
So when you were you talking about the range, and I'll go back to the cash here, were you talking about like we got above 5,200 here, putting in multiple highs at the 4,230, 4,240 area? Or were you talking more, you know, like you did have a clear breakout above 4,800? Are you talking about the new range developing or just the distance it went from its former range?
Yeah, to answer your question, I'm going to answer it a little bit differently, but to answer your question is, what do we normally do when you break out to a new high? You usually come back and you technically retest where you broke out from, right? Basic 101. I think that this range is probably going to be a little bit deeper than that. I think 4,600 to 4,800 is probably where the lower end of the range is at. The upper end of the range probably going forward for now is probably going to be 5,100. Because I do think that at some point in time, you know, now that the options expiration is behind us, we could probably get a relief rally. Best I think you get to is maybe 5,125. And then I think you're going to start to see people sell into that. It's no longer kind of buy the dips. I think it's sell the rips at this point in time. And if you look back over the last five trading days or so, how many days, and, you know, Dennis, you could probably answer this very quickly, but how many days did we start higher and end lower on the day?
Last week?
Yeah.
I think it was 4 of 5.
Yeah.
It was 4 in a row for sure. And we actually started talking about like on day 3, and I'm like, this is a trend. We got a new trend here. But trend is your friend here. But, you know, it almost feels like we could do it again here today. I mean, we're doing the same thing. It's like Groundhog Day around here, Craig, where the overnight traders are just too excited. They got to come in and buy the dip because they can't help themselves. And then the institutional money comes in at 9:30 and starts selling it to them. And then by like 9:45 or 9:50, we go red. It's like the same thing it feels like here again. I mean, even NVIDIA this morning was up 25 points in the pre-market, you know, off of retail driven because retail's trading overnight. Now it's only up 8. I mean, the leak still seems to happen here, too. There's so much pricing inefficiency, it seems like, after hours, especially since we got these 24-hour markets, you know, on Robinhood and the liquidity on some of these stocks. Like, I was trading NVIDIA, you know, on IB overnight the one day. The spread on it was 20 points wide at one point in time the one day. I mean, you know, like, it's not like you're – and it's not typically that wide, but it was, you know, it was just a wild night. I mean – you know, it's one thing, like the liquidity is so low that you see these ridiculous moves sometimes. And I think a lot of times it's just following through at 4 a.m., 5 a.m. And then the real money comes in and says, well, NVIDIA's up 25 bucks here after it just fell 80. I'll sell into that strength. And then you have that coming in. So sometimes I just think there's some good opportunity here in the pre-market to fade some of these moves.
Yep. And I think some of it, if you also sort of watch as you get through the European close, you tend to find that there is the selling sort of picks up after the European close. So that's the other parts I've been watching. But it also speaks to me that people are probably mispositioned. That rip off the lows of October last year into the March timeframe was fantastic. But I think a lot of investors and some of the hedge funds got into the market too late. And now they're at a point in time where they're too exposed and they're looking for any sort of graceful, as graceful as it could be, opportunity to sell on strength into this market right now. And I think that's why we're getting what we're getting. And I think it's probably going to continue here for a while. Again, my gauges that I look at here at Piper, I mean, they're in sell positions. They have been for a while, but they're not at anywhere near washout levels yet. It's going to take more time for this to play out. And I keep saying to people that I think this first pullback is probably going to find its lows probably somewhere as you get into the late June timeframe is probably where you find those lows. Like we can continue to keep drifting lower until then. Then I think you get a move, probably takes you back up into August, October, and then you sort of sell it off ahead of the election, and then you move higher after the election. That's where this HLTR sort of play ultimately comes in.
Craig, before we let you go, I just got to ask you. I mean, we could talk about all the technicals we want and say, oh, technicals rule. We could talk about the fundamentals and how important are they, home, you know, they move stocks. But what about how do you factor in like the world situation? I mean, look what happened last week, you know, with Iran and Israel. It certainly doesn't look like there's going to be there hasn't been a resolution in a couple thousand years. Nothing now. I mean, how do you factor that as risk into the markets as the global macro situation? I'm not even bringing up Ukraine and Russia.
Yeah, I mean, it's another risk variable to take into consideration. And I think the way that the investors are playing this is they're coming back to the crude oil price. And so if you pull up the crude oil price on the screen, you'll see that crude oil hasn't really spiked. It's been drifting higher. But even last week, we saw oil prices go lower. And I think this is how people are trying to gauge how serious this situation is. Huh. I mean, if there was something to be sunk in, say, the Strait of Hormuz, super serious, but it hurts everybody, even the oil producers, even these countries that are still producing oil, are involved in this conflict. They don't want to do anything to bring oil production offline. It's not going to escalate further until you take oil offline. And this oil price is going to be your gauge of that. And that's how I think the institutional investors are sort of rationalizing what's happening out here, Joel.
Okay, Craig Johnson, he's the managing director over there at Piper Sandler. Just real quick, Craig, you mentioned your Piper Select fund. Investors are interested in getting more information on that, should they do? Should they email you or someone else at Piper? What would be the best way? Because we're going to start following that real closely. How can people get more information on that?
Yeah, so if they want to look at that, that is not listed here in the U.S., but it is listed over in Europe due to regulations. SOTOPUS, you can find it on the internet. It's from Selective. And then I would also say if there's your listeners that like to look at charts like I do, shoot me an email. I'll add you to my weekend distribution list of charts, craig.johnson@psc.com. And I don't charge for those right now. So if they want them, take a look at the charts. You're welcome to them.
Beautiful. Well, Craig Johnson. Thank you for hopping on with us this morning. We will follow up and chat with you soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
You do the same.
Thanks, Craig. Awesome stuff.
Yeah, I mean, always good to catch up with Craig Johnson again, coming over from Piper Sandler. He mentioned the AAII sentiment survey, so I wanted to just pull that up real quick. And you see this huge spike up in bulls last week, 34% compared to 24% the week prior. And that was before Friday's action. That was before NVIDIA dropped 10%. So this takes into account, you know, I think they end the poll on Thursday. So after Friday's action, I'd imagine this number is actually a little bit higher than it's showing right now. So basically about even when you look at what percentage of individual investors, retail investors are bullish versus bearish. Of course, historically, we've seen at times when people get more bearish is actually when you want to be buying. But sometimes there are periods where, you know, you'd make more money on the short side, even as bears are increasing for a little bit before that trade catches up.
All right, we got a little pop there, and Aaron, I asked you to dig for some news, and the news that you gave me, I don't know, I guess the market's looking at it positively. Give us that bit of information. I am dropping Craig's email here. If you guys want to take a look at the charts, I am dropping that in the YouTube. But we did get a little nice pop there. Triple D, did you get picked off on that? That was like a 7-8.
No, just playing the chop, you know, like in and out of some stuff here. It's going to be a choppy environment. You know, if we take anything from Craig, you know, what he was saying here, I think we got to take that. He thinks, you know, choppy is going to continue here, you know, where there's going to be a trading environment. He didn't talk about, you know, he talked about a trading environment here. And when they're raising cash in these funds, like they're usually, like, sounds like they're mostly all in, that they're concerned that there is more downside here. And he talked about more potential downside in NVIDIA and talked about, you know, potential. So how do you do that? You're fading moves. You know, when you're seeing, you know, big moves up here, you're fading into them. Like I would say today's move is a counter move to what we've been doing for the last 2 weeks. So it's a counter trend move. Usually counter trend moves are faded. Now, can we get up to 500? Can it continue? Am I going short all in? But no, if I was too long though, I'd be using strength and selling into rallies. So I liked what he said was more selling the rip as opposed to buying the dip. I'm on that same page, you know, where I'm kind of leaning towards selling the rip on stocks as opposed to just blindly buying the dip here. Because I think there's more weakness ahead. I'm looking at, you know, the technicals here. And again, you know, we do always look at technicals. And my point was just being that the fundamental, the news-driven trading is going to be so much this week with, you know, Meta, Tesla, and Microsoft, and Google. And I mean, you can have the prettiest chart in the world. A company comes out and misses. The stock's going down. But, you know, you can look at technicals just to say, is the bar high? Is the bar low? The Tesla bar is super low. The Meta bar is super high. Those exact opposite things are happening here. Like Meta, bring up this chart here. We've looked at the technicals on Tesla lots, but Meta had a breakdown on Friday. Meta is, you know, was hanging out here, not participating in the downside, you know, getting some love. And if you put it in perspective, the stock's up fivefold in basically 18 months. So, I mean, it's up 400% in 18 months. It's just been an enormous move here. Is Meta got some potential downside if they miss? Absolutely. Could the stock go down $50 if they miss? Absolutely. Are they going to miss? I think they not only have to, I think they, it's not about missing. I think they have to blow it away for the stock to get higher. So here you have Meta bouncing $7 into Friday's pop. That's a short candidate to me. Like you've got the 500 level here. You've got the pop, you know, after an initial drop on Friday. Mm-hmm. I would think, and I'm not saying I'm going to go short into the report, and it's actually opposite to my core strategy being long stocks ahead of reports, but this one's just had so much strength ahead of the report here, and you can say, oh, 2 months, it hasn't gone nowhere, but no, we're up from 350 at the beginning of the year. It still needs to blow it away. AB, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, Dennis, we talked about last week that the expectation for some of these big tech stocks now is not only a double beat, but a double beat by significant margins and then raising guidance significantly. So if you don't do all three of those things, just a double beat and, you know, edging out earnings like might not be enough. Yeah. We saw that with Netflix. Real quick, Joel, the headline that we got at 8:30, the economic data was the Chicago Fed national activity for March was 0.15 versus 0.09 estimated. So, I mean, it was, I don't think that's necessarily what was moving the markets. Maybe it was just kind of people were looking for anything at the 8:30, you know, to go out and buy the market with. But that was the headline I got. Again, not sure if that's exactly what was helping the market bump up a little bit higher.
And I just want to throw one thing in here about earnings season. You know, Dennis, you talked, well, if the company doesn't beat, you know, or they miss it, you know what? What did JP Morgan do wrong, Dennis? Right?
I know that's a beep beep and basically a raise. Like they did everything right here and they still hammered the stock. So sometimes it's just about, you know, the bar being too high and it's unattainable. I mean, I wonder that for Meta, if the bar isn't too high that it's almost unattainable. But, you know, but they said that, I remember that set up, you know, about 6 months ago, and then they did beat it and they did end up going higher. Sometimes things.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tricky earnings season. I really do.
Microsoft is straight down to the report. We just lost 25 points on Microsoft here in 4 days. That's the biggest downfall for Microsoft this year. You know, significant sell off. Reports Thursday. So Google is holding on, but Google's sitting there near all time highs. Amazon had a down breakdown on Friday. It's such an interesting market, and the rotation here is just violent. It's violent. Like, I cannot believe how bad, you know, the how bad it was for tech on Friday, but how good it was for so many other names. You know, for the Dow to be positive on Friday on a day when they're just trashing some tech stocks. You know, NVIDIA down almost 100 points. Amazing the rotation here. And this market is not a sell everything market. It's not a buy everything market. It's a, if we're selling this, what are we buying market?
Look at the diamonds. Holy macro. What is that? Daily here. Look at that. You got 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lows in the same area. Like basically 367.5 up. Well, Friday, it even made a lower high. So that is a right there, man. That's an interesting level formation to keep an eye on. If you want to dip your toe, that looks a lot better than your tech Latin SPY, right? There seems like there's just no sign of hope there, but should be an interesting day. It's 9:01. We're going to get ready to wrap here, but besides the big week in the markets, we got a big week in sports coming up with the NFL draft coming to Motown on this Thursday, going over the weekend. And just because it's in our own backyard, man, I figured we got to, just like we cover the action in the markets, we're going to cover that action in the first round of the NFL draft. We already have a couple people signed up from the chat to be a guest GM. You nice. Could be on with me and my two other co-hosts as we forecast the front, the first round. It's going to be right in our own backyard. And AB is going to be our roving reporter. We are going to send AB out into the crowds of a couple hundred thousand people to get their reaction.
AB's just hearing about this for the first time.
when you put it like that, Joel, it sounds a little bit daunting, but I think we can handle it. But yeah, you guys will be able to watch me live while I'm out there. So I know I'll be safe because if anything, you know, you guys will be able to come out. Joel, you'll rush out and save me into the big crowd of people if things get a little bit too crazy. But here's the Google form if you want to hop on that stream with us. How it's going to work is, of course, as each team is making their selection during the first round of the NFL draft on Thursday night, we're going to bring on fans from those respective teams to talk about the team's needs, what positions they might be looking at, what players they might be looking at, and just have a good time. I mean, this is not going to be your super serious, stuffy draft show. This is going to be us just hanging out, having a good time, taking in this really awesome thing that's happening in downtown Detroit that probably wouldn't have been possible, you know, 10, 15 years ago. So really excited about this. I will drop this link in the chat if you guys want to fill out this Google form again. We're just stoked about this. We're having an event on Thursday here at the Benzinga office. It should be a crazy week. It already is crazy downtown. I mean, lots of road closures already, you name it. Getting ready, gearing up for hundreds of thousands of people here. So you don't want to miss out on this party. It'll be a good time. Again, that link is in the chat.
Okay, I'm going to wrap things up. S&P's up here, nearly 30 handles. Of course, the most important thing on a day like this is to take out that pre-market high at 36.50. And I'll just give you a number on the upside that I'm going to be focusing on for the entire week. I think we got some room up to 50.60. That's another 30 handles. And then whether or not we can get through that 50.60 and establish a bid will be, you know, our key to getting back to 5,100. Now that we are 70 points off that Globex low, now all that Israel stuff in Iran, Israel attack happened on Thursday, right? So on Friday night, we went down to 49.63 and change.
That was the washer, yeah.
Yeah, and then I noticed that I had to watch market action after that and after Dennis waking me up at 5 in the morning. but we came back to green on that. We came back and we're in the green by like 9-10 handles. And I'm saying to myself, holy macro, how the heck did we do that? So now that we've distanced ourselves that much from the low, I think you do have like some of the buy the dippers like, oh, I missed another opportunity to buy the dip and I got to get in tomorrow. Which would be today. And then we'll T3 Tuesday. That's tomorrow. That's what we got on our show, folks. Thanks a lot for joining us, and back with you tomorrow morning, same time, same place.